Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather Show. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York. I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on a lovely Sunday evening in Manhattan. And joined by my good friend here, Handsome the Cat, and Max and Remo, who have all been recently fed so they wouldn't yell during the show. And I am talking to you on the night of a solar eclipse. The purpose of this show, as those of you who have listened to the show before know, is we talk about the weekly weather. We talk about what's going on in the heavens, how it feels, what you can do with it, what you can't do with it, what you'd like to do with it, and all the other assorted energies that are swirling around in the cosmos asking you to pay attention to them. So today, at 3:20, I think it was, there was a solar eclipse off the coast of the Easter Islands and went all the way to Patagonia. So we're going to have news from South Africa or South America on this eclipse energy over the next few months, because the eclipse was visible from the Easter Islands, where those lovely statues are, all the way back down into the lower part of the world. So the eclipse was at 3:40 p.m. Eastern Time, so 12:40 for those of you in California, and it's going to be in Australia tomorrow. So, or was in Australia for tomorrow, I guess. They're ahead of us. So they saw it too. And we understand when eclipses do is they bring to light situations. Now, this eclipse is a southern eclipse, meaning the sun is on the south node. It is a solar eclipse, not a lunar eclipse, like I said in my column incorrectly. Thank you, Lawrence, for pointing that out. A solar eclipse means the sun gets taken out of light, which I did know, I just wrote it wrong. So the sun gets taken out, ba-doom, ba-doom, and he's gone, and we don't get to see him. And so the moon passes across in front of the sun and blocks the sun's light. And so what happens in a solar eclipse is, if you've ever been in one, it's really cool. All the birds go to sleep. All the flowers that close up. It's like the whole world goes through dusk, kind of gets ready for bed. And then the sun comes back and everybody goes, oh, my God, it wasn't bedtime yet. And it kind of is a weird energy. It's kind of real kind of cosmic, freaky feel to it. So the lights went out. The sun light went out over the southern part of the Pacific Ocean and across into the bottom part of South America. And those people were able to see the eclipse. We can't all see it at the same time because of, you know, Earth pivoting and depending on where the sun and the moon are. But what it is, a solar eclipse is when the sun and the moon, or a lunar eclipse, the sun and the moon and the Earth all line up in a row, and the light from one of the two bodies blocks out the other one's light. So it looks like it disappears. It looks like the sun got eaten up by the dragon's head in the sky, when in fact that's not what happened. Just the moon going across, having a little chat with the sun, taking away part of the light. But what it does do is it starts something. It reveals something, because the light changes, because the energy shifts, because the cosmic nodes of destiny are involved. We have meaningful experiences. Not that we don't have meaningful experiences the rest of the time, but we really have meaningful experiences on the eclipses. So one of the things we find with eclipses is they have themes. Who knew? And this eclipse has a theme. And so this is the 12 South eclipse. So I'm going to read from Bernadette Brady's book, The Eagle and the Lark, which is a great book on predictive astrology. But she has a back section on eclipses. So this eclipse started on September 19th in 1541 on the South Pole. And it ends on October 27th, 2787. We are all going to be dead. 2785, I'm sorry. Be technically correct there. No, somebody might be listening to this in 2785 in some faraway galaxy. So anyway, this eclipse series is about bringing successful outcomes to long-term worries or illnesses. An issue which has worried or drained the individual for some time will at first seem worse, and then it will clear with successful outcomes. Now, the last time you had this eclipse was 1992, June 1992. Think about what you were doing then. I have very clear memories of that time because this is on my nodes, so I know this one. Then the one before that was June 1974. The one before that was June 1956. And if you're really, really old, the one before that was June 1938. Each of those years, this eclipse brought something to light, helped you heal it, helped you release it, helped you move on. Now remember, the eclipse is on the South Node, so it's all about release, release, let it go, you don't need this anymore, release, release. So your job on eclipses, or on any new moon or full moon, is to come to terms with something of an integration point between your ego base, your purpose for life, why you're here, your soul or purpose, the reason you exist on Earth, and your emotional continuity, the emotional body that helps you feel so that you know what you want, the emotional body that nurtures you so you can go forward and do your path. So the whole idea of eclipses is they have a weird relationship because one of the lights goes away, and we don't like it when one of our lights goes away. Think about it, when you were a little kid and you got left home with mom or dad and you wanted the other one. You know, I had one client call and her son was like, I want my daddy. Didn't want mom in the middle of the night. Wanted the daddy, and daddy, of course, wasn't there. And it's that kind of energy. You want something really primal because this eclipse is also on the South Node. So when an eclipse is on the South Node, what it does is it brings to light stuff and it wakes stuff up, and then it says, okay, what are you going to do now that you know about it? Because it's also a new moon eclipse. So it starts something. It starts a new process. So the emotions were the last 2 weeks. Something emotionally came to light that was saying to you, release, let go. Do you need this? Do you want this? Is this part of your forward movement? And if it isn't, you let it go, or you're in the process of letting it go. Now the new moon comes today and says, what's your vision for the future? What are you trying to accomplish? Where are you going? What are you doing? And you have to answer. You have to say, what I'm doing is da-da-da-da-da. Because emotionally, the sun and the moon in the sign of Cancer want to nurture something. They're in the sign in the Cancer house in your chart at 19 degrees. And they want to make something grow. And they want to start a new story there. And that story is going to run for the next 2.5 years. And your job is to say, okay, I'm starting a new story. Let me work on it. So it's in my house, creativity and love affairs. So I'm kind of looking forward to the love affair part. But the creativity part I can totally get. I totally see that. And, you know, who knows, maybe the love affair too. And so forward we go with this whole new energy. We're ready to really kind of take off, and this is a new beginning energy. Now, the eclipses take place, so now they're going to start to leave us because we count the 2 weeks leading up to the full moon, then the full moon to the new, which we just finished. And now we're at the new moon, and we're going towards the full, so we're in the release, we're in the growth process towards the new life after the release of the last 2 weeks. And as fate would have it, or as the heavens would have it, the next full moon we have is right before that T-square gets really tight, the one that everybody's talking about on the internet, the cosmic cross, the cardinal climax, the exciting moment you soon to come into your life when five planets, count them five, are fighting on the world axis in a big brawl, big barhouse brawl, big fight. So that's in 2 weeks. But this next 2 weeks, we're building up to the fight. We're getting the vision of what we want. We're in the process of still letting go of maybe some stuff from last week because Saturn's in the last degrees of Virgo. So you have until the 21st, next Wednesday, the 21st, to get everything cleared out when Saturn goes into Libra. And I want good trips to Goodwill this week, next week, before next Wednesday, releasing the stuff you don't need. And your job is to say, okay, I'm releasing and I'm starting a new cycle. And then the crossroads comes on August 2nd to the 5th, and you're there. You're, you know, the universe is there with you saying, okay, what are we doing? And you need to have an answer. So you need to be really ready. You know, I want you to have a little list. And if you have the sections of, I don't know what I want to do about that, they'll say, okay, well, we're making a decision, and they'll make a decision. And either they'll leave, you'll leave, something will happen. But the stuff you know you want, focus on. Focus on that and head towards it. So that's the idea of this week. New moon, new energy, heading towards the last degree of Saturn in Virgo, which happens next Wednesday, the 21st. So we are in wrap-up mode for Saturn and Uranus. We also have Uranus, or Saturn in Virgo. We also have Saturn, or Uranus, I'm sorry, I'm talking too fast. Slow down, Ian. You don't have to go so fast. Okay, I won't. We also have Uranus having stationed last week. You know, he's rocking the world and making us kind of go, ooh, ooh. And ahead of us, we have Jupiter stationing. So he's going to go, ooh, ooh. Jupiter stations on the 23rd, which is next Friday. Saturn changes signs. Mars changes signs. We got a lot of energy coming in the week ahead. This is actually the quiet week where you can get a lot accomplished because you actually have room to do things. The moon is in Leo, which is a creative moon, Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, it's in Virgo, busy, busy, busy. And then on Friday, it's in Libra, partner, 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 Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's a good moon, a good week for getting things accomplished, released, changed, let go, started, begun, whatever you're trying to do. It's a great week to do them because you've got the new moon energy and you're getting ready. Saturn's getting ready to finish with Virgo, so he's at that last degree of releasing out into the world. And everybody's kind of waiting, waiting, waiting for this cardinal climax to come. And the planets are getting closer and closer and tighter and tighter and closer and closer and tighter and tighter. And so the suspense is building. You can almost hear the scary music start. Or not scary, maybe the right word is the tension music. You know, and you know how like when you're in the movie and you hear the music go, nee, 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 and you go, okay, here comes the scary part. I always close my eyes at the music. I don't even wait for the scene. I just, okay, here comes the music, time to close my eyes. It's coming. So we're in this build-up period. This is the week of the build-up. New beginnings starting. Great time. The week is actually pretty big in terms of there's lots of aspects. There's not necessarily lots of action. So when we see aspects without action, what that means is information. We're getting information. We're learning things. We're finding things out. We're going, oh, okay. It's a gathering of time. You don't have to do anything right yet. Your Mars is in Virgo, running around, gathering information up, trying to figure out things. And he's you know, he's having a little bit of stress on the 13th. He's maybe talking to a lawyer or talking to somebody smart, or, you know, he's a little stressed about what his choices are. And then he is trying to figure out what to do about the kids on the 16th, which is Friday, or what to do about the children or the things that he's nurtured and built. And then he's also ready to make some changes when we get to the 17th and 18th. He's ready to say, okay, this is what I want to do. And so this is a week for Mars to be thinking about what his action is. He's also approaching, very slowly, a conjunction with Saturn, which he's going to make at the end of the month. He's going to join with Saturn. He's going to go into Libra and then join Saturn right after that. So we're building, we're building. Venus is busy, too. Not horribly busy, but she's got a bunch of stuff on her plate. She's, you know, having a little bit of stress with Jupiter about, you know, what things cost or how things, you know, are expensive or how is she going to do that. She's got a trine to Pluto that says, yep, you can get what you want. No problem. You can get what you want. The trine is positive. She's got a little bit of stress to the parent, the partnership energy. So she's a little stressed with partners this week on the 14th, which is Wednesday. And she's thinking. She's in a very contemplative mood. Because she's in early Virgo. When Venus is in Virgo, it's not her favorite place because she, you know, she worries about things. Virgos worry. And Venus in Virgo is a worrying placement. And it worries that it won't be able to. It worries that it's not enough. It worries that what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? It's got a whole list of things that can happen. Most of them don't. But it doesn't mean Virgo isn't aware of them and worried about them. So I was talking to a friend of mine today, and her son got back from Europe, and he was doing this kind of fast trip in Europe that involved coordinating things and being very tight scheduled. And she's a producer, or was a producer when she was before the kids came. And she's like, oh, you know, and I was really nervous for the last month about all the things that could possibly go wrong on his trip. And I listened to that, and I thought, really worried about all the possible things that could go wrong on the trip. The kid's going to Europe for 2 weeks, so he misses a train. This is okay. But then I went, oh, Venus and Virgo, of course she was really worried for the last couple of weeks, last month or so about it, because she worries about things, you know, that she makes the plan in her job as a producer is to worry about all the things that could go wrong. I'm like, you catch another train. Not in her world. But that's why I'm a Pisces moon and she doesn't have a Pisces moon. So it's understanding that the Virgo energy is worrying, little nudgy. It's a little nudgy week, you know. This is the kind of week when your mother calls five times and says, did you remember to turn off the oven? You go, yeah, Mom, I did. Or, you know, did I remember the keys? Yeah, I did. And it also is a very checklist week. So you want to know that the energy is fast moving, so you're going to maybe want a checklist because this is the kind of week where you can lose stuff. Mercury, also very busy this week. It's a two-page week. When I print out my aspects every week before I write my column, sometimes they fit on one page, sometimes they fit on two pages. This time it's a two-page week. It's not as many as last week. It's only 1.5 pages, really, but it did go over onto the second page. So when that happens, we know that it's a busy week bustling in the world. So Mercury is busy, too. He's not as busy as he was last week. Last week, you got lots of information that you maybe did or did not want to know. This week, Mercury is working with stuff. So on the 12th, he again is thinking about strategies and visions because he's squaring Pallas Athena and trying to figure out what to do. And he's also making a list of all the stuff, the history, the understanding of what he's done and how he's gotten to where he is. Then he has a little bit of an argument during the middle part of the week with his mother. So this is a week when you're going to fight with your mother. She's going to drive you crazy, or you're going to be the mother driving your kid crazy. Don't. Just quiet. Just let them figure out. It was interesting. I was reading Angelina Jolie's interview in Vanity Fair, and she said when you're a parent of a teenager, you're not supposed to talk. You're just supposed to listen and let them talk. Because if you say anything, you're wrong anyway. But just let them talk to you. You know, talk to them up until the age when they start to shut their door. That was a great analogy. Once they shut their door, let them talk to you. Don't you talk to them. And listen more than you tell them what to do, because they're really figuring it out. And they'll talk to you if they want your advice, but otherwise, you know, don't talk. And I'm like, wow, think of all the conflict that would be avoided if we all followed that rule. So at any rate, Mercury this week wants to fight with his mother on Wednesday, the 13th. And he has got a couple of really, really good ideas on the 14th. And whatever those ideas are, they're kind of weird and a little quirky, but give yourself permission to try them or to try to do them. And then there is he's in conjunct to the North Node of Destiny on the 16th. So that's an adjustment that he's going to be making that makes him feel a little difficult or a little out of sorts. Remember, Mercury is in Leo now, and so he wants to be recognized and validated for who he is. And he crosses onto the world axis on the 18th. So that's a public energy, a very public energy on the 17th and 18th, where Mercury at that point is going to have some kind of fight on the 18th. He's having a sesquiquadrate aspect to Uranus. That's a great aspect for a divorce, or I don't want to be here anymore, I think I want to leave, or I want to release this, I don't want this anymore. And he has some stress earlier in the week, but he really is about getting clear, because he's in Leo, and Leo is the sign of the sun. And so the sun is saying to Mercury, well, is this what you want? And Mercury has to say, for all of everybody, because he's the communicator planet, he has to say for each of us, he has to say what we want. So this is the part about having your list ready about what you want. Even if you don't know what you don't want about some stuff, know what you want about the others, because that's important. Then when we look at the sun is busy too. You know, they're all busy. And the sun is busy with, he has kind of easy-flowing aspects. He's not having any particular stress. He's, again, having an argument with the female or the mother on the 14th. Because he and, you know, everybody's in the mood to argue right now. It is a T-square. And so your job is to say, okay, do I really need to argue with you? No, I don't need to. And walk away. Don't go there. And then he's got a couple gifts of great ideas on the 15th and the 16th. And then on the 18th, he gets like such a burst of energy. He's just going to be feeling so juicy and so hot and so ready to take off and just fly. And that's over the weekend. So that's always lovely on that lovely Sunday, the 18th. And then the other planets are all pretty quiet. You know, Neptune's not doing much. Saturn not doing much. I mean, Saturn's saying goodbye to some stuff, but, you know, he's at the last degrees of Virgo, so he's saying goodbye to just about everybody that's at the last degrees of anything, because he's getting ready to shift into Libra. And then the personal asteroids aren't doing much either. You know, they're all kind of hanging out. So they're all having a little bit of time in the sun. We do find that Eris, the planet of discord, stops and stations to go retrograde at 22 Aries on the 18th. And we don't often talk about these other planets out there, but they're important. And I heard an excellent lecture when I heard about, actually I didn't hear the lecture, I heard about an excellent lecture when I was at the conference, the NCGR conference in February, drawing a blank on everything. It's just my brain is not working the way I like it to work. I heard an excellent lecture from one of my good buddies in astrology, Grace, who had gone to hear Eric Francis talk about the new girls that have been discovered. So we have three new girls that have been discovered, one of which is Eris, who is the goddess of discord. The other, which is Selena, who is the she's a moon goddess. And the third is Sedna, who is also a female goddess. So now, interesting, now that we are in the twos, you know, we're in the 2000s, which is a female number, they're finding all these girl things out there. You know, it used to be the only girls were Venus and the moon. And they didn't want to count the asteroids. They just finally promoted Ceres to be a dwarf planet a couple years ago when Pluto got its demotion. But now we're finding girls out there. Now, they're not necessarily nice girls, but they are girls. So we got to count them, and we got to pay attention to them. So at any rate, Eris is stationing, and she stations at 22 Aries, and she's stationing on July 18th. So when she stops in the sky, at 22, on the world axis, of course, because it's right next to it, she's going to stimulate some stuff, and she's going to make us be very aware of discord. So that's on the 18th. So we want to watch that, because her stationing, she's the one that started the Trojan War, you know. She wasn't invited to the party, and so she said, okay, be that way. Don't invite me. I'm going to cause a little trouble. So she threw a golden apple into the party and said, it's for the fairest goddess of them all. And the goddesses said, oh, that's me. Zeus, recognizing a sticky situation when he saw one, said, oh, I'm not going towards this. And he called on Paris. And he said, Paris, you got away with the ladies? Plus you're a shepherd. You know, you're a good guy. You know, you get to decide who's the most beautiful goddess. And Paris goes, really? Me? Why me? I don't know that I want that job. Zeus is like, I'm not taking it, honey. You're in charge. I'm the king of the Lord. I'm the king of the heavens. You get to do the work here. So Paris says, okay, so who's the most beautiful? Well, the goddesses all wanted the golden apple thrown by Eris, the goddess of discord. And they started to vie for it, you know. Aphrodite said, I will give you the most beautiful woman in the world to love you. And, of course, you know, Aphrodite, I mean, you know, the goddess of love. This is a great thing. Pallas Athena what's her name? Ooh, drawing a blank. Venus, you know, with the, not Venus. Who's the one with the fighting one with the sword? Diana. Pallas Athena, the justice lady, the one that does the thing that sprung from Zeus's forehead, whoever that one is. She goes, I'll give you strategy during war. I'll make you really be strategic, and you'll be able to be really brilliant and whatever. And then Juno, the god, you know, Zeus's wife, she said, I'll give you power. I'll give you lots and lots of power. You want power, baby? I'll give you power. And Paris, being Paris, said, no, you know, actually, I think I'll go for the most beautiful woman in the world. So they all went, okay, great, be that way. So they leave, and Aphrodite says to him, come with me. And it happens to be Helen of Troy. We all know about the Trojan War. And she happened to be married to somebody else, but she happened to be the most beautiful woman in the world. So Paris got her, which started the Trojan War. And Juno, and whoever the one is that sprung from the head with the sword, I'm drawing a blank on her name again, I can see her. She's the one that helped them kill the Medusa. She's the one with the sword. Blank, blank, blank. I hate this. Oh, my brain is not working. At any rate, the two of them went off to plot, and they came up with the Trojan War as the way to pay back poor Paris for picking not them. So when the goddess of discord stops, Eric Francis had said, we need to pay attention to these people, because when new planets are discovered, we're learning things about our consciousness. We're learning about our vision of what we're here for. And these are really big things. One of them is in charge of the ocean. The other one's in charge of the moon. And the other one is in charge of discord, of which there seems to be a lot lately. So she's stopping in Aries, which is a planet of war, and she's stopping at 22, and she's pausing. So when we have the planets pause, we pay attention. So that means discord will be big this week because Eris is stopping. So, and she's really stopping on the 18th. And so when she stops, then right after that, we get into a real rocking week because next week is big. I mean, not that we're not going to ignore this week, but this week is busy. Next week is big. So forward we go into the week. The other thing that's happening is we look at the moon closing aspects because the aspects of things begun on the moon are really what we want to watch, what the moon is doing when it finishes. So today, the moon is in Cancer, and the closing aspect is tomorrow morning at 7:48, and it's a sextile to Saturn. So anything you did on yesterday, Saturday, and today is going to have a positive ending. It's going to be a happy outcome. On Monday and Tuesday, the moon is in Leo. Goes into Leo 8:53 in the morning, Monday morning. And the aspect is an opposition to Neptune, the closing aspect. So that says it's going to separate with sadness, or it's going to separate and dissolve, or you're going to emotionally dissolve the situation that you began on this moon. The next aspects are the 14th and the 15th, and that is the moon in Virgo. And the closing aspect for that is a conjunction to Saturn. So Saturn joins the moon in Virgo and says, okay, at 9:46 in the morning on the 16th. So those things begin with an end with a solid, decisive finish energy. And moon conjunct Saturn is not a bad energy. It is a serious energy. So it's an ending energy because it's a conjunction. It's a new beginning energy because it's a conjunction. And it's a serious energy because it's Virgo. But it's not bad. It's good, solid energy. And then the moon goes into Libra on the 16th at 10:24 in the morning. And it's in Libra on the 17th and the 18th till 10:26. And it goes void with a trine to Neptune. So those are really nice. That's nice. That's fun. That makes everybody happy. And then the moon goes into Scorpio on the 18th at 1:42 in the afternoon. And the closing aspect is Tuesday the 20th at 7:43. And that is a sextile through Saturn. Again, a lovely closing aspect. So we have nice aspects this week for the most part, for getting things accomplished. Sometimes when the aspects are hard or difficult, you know, it's actually not a bad thing because you do want something to end. You do want something to release. You do want to let something go. And in that case, it's like, great, let me let it go. And then once it's gone, then let me bring it in. Let me bring in the new thing. Because remember, whenever there's an ending, always a new beginning. Took me a while to figure that out. But, I have a lot of planets in Scorpio, so I'm not really interested in those endings. But I do know whenever I release something, good things come in or new things come in. And I kind of watch now when something ends. I look around and go, okay, what's the new thing coming in? Because there's something around the corner. I can feel it even if I don't necessarily see it. So it's paying attention to that as an energy is this week. And then next week is really rocking. So this week you want to just get as much done as you can because next week the universe really kicks up for the next 3.5 weeks until we get to the middle of August as we come into that cardinal T-square, as Saturn changes signs, as we have the last opposition, as we have the energy and the tension build, as we have Jupiter station, as we, you know, you can kind of feel it's like this, and then there's this, and then there's this, and then there's this. So this week is your week to get a lot done because in the next couple of weeks you might have a little trouble, okay? So go for it. And push forward. So I got an email from someone saying, can I please explain degrees? Okay, I think I did this, but I'll do it again. In a circle, there's 360 degrees. So every sign is 30 degrees big because there's 12 signs. 30 into 360 gets 12, or 12 into 360 gets 30. So each of the signs has 30 degrees. And they travel in a circle around the Earth, or they appear to travel in a circle around the Earth. We actually know that we're all going around the sun, but they look like optical illusion time. They look like they're circling us in this little section of the sky. And they look like they're circling between around the equator, right? And they look like they're circling between 23 degrees above the equator and 23 degrees below the equator. So if you get out a globe and you look at the globe, everybody knows that the equator is zero. That's the middle of the Earth. And then it goes 360 degrees around, right? So if we go to Greenwich, England, which is, was the center of the Earth when they started counting this, I mean, the center of power when we started counting this way. Zero north and south runs through Greenwich, England. Zero east and west lies through the middle of the Earth. So it's 360 degrees around the Earth, around the middle of the belly, and then it's 360 degrees around from top to bottom. Okay? So it's like a big ball, like 300, you know, like a ball. Earth is a ball. So it's like a weird little ball, 360 degrees. Each of the zodiac signs go around the globe. So we look out, we draw a little line out, and we go, okay, I'm standing right here, and I'm drawing a line straight out, and I'm looking at the constellation of Scorpio. Well, Scorpio has 360 degrees. So when you have a planet, it's 6 Scorpio, or Scorpio has 6, 30 degrees out of a chunk of that 360 degrees. When you're looking at 6 Scorpio, you're 6 degrees, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, into the 30 degrees of Scorpio. Now think about how big that sky is. And you have 180 degrees over your head, right, from horizon to horizon, because it's a ball. It's a big, giant ball, and you're standing in the middle of the ball, and above your head is 180 degrees. So a degree is not enough. We need more. We need more fine measurements. So we do minutes. And a minute is 60, you know, we have 60 minutes, right, in an hour, and that equals a degree. And then we also have seconds. So we have 60 seconds, and that equals a minute. And then we also have milliseconds, but, you know, it's really kind of fine. But, you know, NASA pays attention to those. You and I, not so much. So we have these degrees, minutes, seconds. And every planet is somewhere in the sky measured by degrees, minutes, or seconds of a sign that they're in, the constellation that they're in, of a whole circle of 360 degrees. So each degree is actually equal to 60 minutes make a degree. 60 seconds make a minute. Same, you know, and so degree is an increment of time. If we think about how fast Earth spins 24 hours, right? Zoom, zoom, goes 24 hours around the zodiac. Zippity cut. Or around, you know, it spins around, we have a day every 24 hours, and a little smidgy, but 24 hours for general principle. That's 2 times 12, right? Remember 12 circles in the zodiac? So that's 15 degrees, because each degree is, you know, a zodiac degree is 12, so if I'm going to divide it by 2 or multiply it by 2, depending on how you want to think, 15 degrees is equal to an hour. Right, are you with me? All right, so 24 hours in the day, 12 degrees in the zodiac. The whole zodiac rises and sets in the course of 24 hours. The sun rises and sets in the course of 24 hours with whatever sign it's in. Right now it's in Cancer. Next month it's in Leo. But it rises and sets in the period of 24 hours. So every 15 degrees is equal to an hour of Earth time. So it's how we measure where we are on Earth relative to the sky. But the planets don't go that fast. Like the sun goes a degree a day. It takes 360 days to go all the way around the zodiac. 360 degrees in 365 days and a quarter to go all the way around the zodiac. So we have a little smidgy thing. It goes a little faster in one season and a little slower in another. But it gets there. So it zooms around. The moon whips around us. Every 28 days, 27 and a half days, boop, new moon. 27 and a half days, boop, new moon. 27 and a half days, new moon. So the moon goes through the zodiac every 27 and a half days, about 13 degrees a day. Sometimes it's a little faster, sometimes it's a little slower. The moon is a little variable. Mercury, he 88 days he whips around the sun, but from our perspective, he takes about a year to go around the sun because he's traveling with the sun. But sometimes he's retrograde, sometimes he's forward. You know, he farts around a lot. So Mercury's a busy boy. And he's not just straight going. But from our perspective on Earth, he takes a year or so. From the Earth standing, if we were standing in the sun, he would whip around the sun every 88 days. And when we see the retrogrades, that's when we're being tricked by where Mercury is in the sky. But the idea is he's always at some degree relative to us, relative to the sun relative to the zodiac. So the idea of those degrees and minutes is every single one of your planets is somewhere in the heavens on the day you're born. And if you look to see where they are, it tells you how far into the sign of Scorpio they are, how far into the, by minutes, by seconds, by degrees. Now, most of the time when you're looking at a chart, because it's, you know, it's astrology work, it's not NASA, we just show degrees and minutes. But the seconds count, very important, and the milliseconds count, very, very important. That atomic clock keeps down to the millisecond, the one out in wherever it is, out in the west, Arizona, I think. So we have this way of measuring the heavens that is kind of universal. So now in your chart, let's say you have something at 19 degrees of Cancer, 10 minutes. Well, today the eclipse took place at 19 degrees Cancer, 24 minutes. You're probably not listening to the show. But you had the eclipse on your chart. But who knows, maybe you are. But at any rate, the eclipse happened on your whatever planet that was. So what we do is we look at where the planets are in the heavens, and we get all excited because we see, astrologers see, if they get near your planets, they're going to make a little stuff happen. They're going to stir up the pot. They're going to get everybody all excited. People are going to jump up and down. Your planets are going to jump up and down. You're going to have a natal excitation. You're going to have something happen. It's called a transit, transitory moment. The planet comes by and goes ding and rings your planet. Eclipses comes by, ding, rings your planet. So what we watch is what the degree and the planets are in the heavens relative to your birth chart, which is where the planets and the degrees were when you were born. So you were born, and you, of course, were a transit in your mother and father's chart. So they were there. You were being born. They're like, oh, we got a new baby. Big event, you know, new addition to the family. You're important in their chart. You show up in their chart as a day, a big day in their life. And every planet in the sky was doing something, and some of them were aspecting your parents' planets, which is why you picked them for planet parents as opposed to your aunt and uncle or your brother. And so the idea is what eclipses do, or any planets do, is we watch the degree and we pay attention. So right now, there's a lot of planets at 1 and 29 and 0. A lot of planets clumped in the same section of the zodiac, which is why it's so intense. It's why everybody's so crazy, because there's all these planets there, and they're all arguing with each other or talking to each other or singing. It's kind of like a giant traffic jam in the heavens because they're talking to each other at the same point. And they have 360 degrees that they can play in, and they're all at the same thing. It's kind of like a magnet, you know. So it's a big deal, and they're all at the middle of an intersection honking. Well, actually, they're starting to honk. They're going to really be honking over the next couple weeks. But what we look for is what the degree is. So when I say find it in your chart, find 20 degrees of Cancer, when you look at your chart, it's a flat picture of the sky, two-dimensional, not three. But on the edges of it, you'll see things called house cusps, and those will say Cancer starts at, say, 5 degrees of Cancer. And then the next sign says 5 degrees of Leo. Well, you know that somewhere in that house is 19 degrees of Cancer where the eclipse took place today. So when I say look for a planet and try and find it there, that's how you do it. You dig into the house, you look at your chart, you think about what number the planet is. So like right now, Saturn's at 28, 29 degrees, 29 degrees, 29 degrees, 29 degrees of Virgo, getting ready to shift into 1 degree of Libra. So he's right at the edge of Virgo, right about to go into Libra. So you find where 29 degrees Virgo is in your chart. And then you look around your chart and you see if you have anything else at 29. Because all of those things are having a conversation with Saturn. Anything at 27 just finished a conversation with Saturn, and anything at 0 is about to have a conversation with Saturn. They're going to have the conversation next week on the 21st. So we watch these numbers to see how they shift, and we watch them to see what they do. So I hope that answered the question. It's hard to do without a picture, but I don't have a picture. So, but it is the degrees. Think of them as math. It's back to geometry. If you hated geometry, well, it's a problem. If you didn't hate geometry, you do know a circle is 360 degrees. You do know a ball is round. And basically what you're doing is you're dividing that circle into 12 little pie pieces, and each one of them is a chunk of the zodiac. And in that chunk of the zodiac, there's the constellation that is named for the chunk. So when we get to Scorpio's chunk, there's the scorpion. When we get to Libra's chunk, there's a scale. Looks like a little balance beam. We get to Virgo, there's the virgin. We get to Leo, there's a lion. We get to Cancer, there's a crab and there's a bear. And there's a container because Cancers are into holding things. We get to Gemini, there's Castor and Pollux, the sign of the twins. Get to Taurus, there's a bull. Get to Aries, there's a ram. Get to Pisces, there's a bunch of fish. There's really like five or six different kinds of fish up there, including a dolphin. Get to Aquarius, there's the water bearer. Get to Capricorn, there's a sea goat, a little goat. Get to Sagittarius, there's the centaur. And then get to Scorpio, we're back to the scorpion and the eagle. There's an eagle in there, and there's a phoenix in there. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So anyway, each of the constellations have sky pictures, and that little band of sky is the section that is measured in 30 degrees. Okay, so hopefully that was clear, and if it wasn't, I can't really do anything about it. I'm going to take some callers. So forward we go. All right, let's try the callers. Hello, caller 313. How are you?
Hi, Ann. I'm terrific. How are you?
I'm very good.
I have a great example for you.
You do? Okay.
Well, I do, because my Mars is at 1953 Cancer.
Okay.
And my North Node is at 1926 Scorpio.
Okay.
And I feel like something really karmic should be happening today, and it didn't happen.
Okay. But did you have anything in the last... Remember, no, eclipses are... They set the stage. They're kind of like a giant bonfire. So they get everything ready, and then along comes the match and lights them over the next couple weeks.
Well, yeah. The last 2 weeks ago, I had a major fight with a girlfriend I've known since I was... Well, we've known each other for, I don't know, 35 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of have had it. I set my boundaries there.
Okay, all right. But, so that's a friend that you said, I'm done.
Yes.
So that's in kind of a family friend, if she's known you 35
right.
years.
Since
almost,
we're in high school.
Yeah, so she knows your family, too. She knew mom and dad, so there
yep.
it is.
Yep.
You know, you're saying goodbye to her and saying, or you're setting a boundary with her. You're changing the structure of the relationship.
Right.
Right. And then we'll watch how that plays out, because she came, you know, because the eclipses, think of them as, the 2 weeks before the full moon one 2 weeks ago, then the full moon eclipse, then the 2 weeks between, and now we're having the new, and then we got 2 weeks to go. So you got,
right.
you know, you're at the moment where, but it is on your planets, and what planet
that was the event 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry.
And what planet was the eclipse on?
Mars.
And Mars is mad.
I know.
And Mars in Cancer normally isn't mad.
Well,
right?
I know, and I
it
didn't
just
let
usually
her have
filter.
It. I just went all quiet, and
uh-huh.
but. Dude, for 2 weeks.
Right. Mars and Cancer.
Right.
I went home and thought about it. And then I said, you know what? I'm not happy with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I here's what I'm curious about, because my nodes are also involved. They're like 1926.
Right.
Scorpio
so what they're doing is there's Scorpio. The Mars and Cancer is trining that North Node in Scorpio. And one of the things Scorpios do is they go, let me go away till I'm not so mad.
Because
I want to be strategic about how I want to handle this. Because I could kill her right now, but I'm not
right.
going to kill her. I'm going to walk away. And so there's an energy of letting me release this, right? And
okay.
letting me move forward to this more strategically than I might normally.
Okay.
And let me think about what I actually want to do. Do I want to do something? Or how do I want to do it? And Scorpios often rest a little, or they wait a little before they take revenge. Because they... You know, or before they make a decision about what they want to do. They're not always a fast little, they're strategic. So your North Node is saying, be a little strategic here. 35 years, do you really want to throw it under the bus?
Well,
and maybe you do, maybe you don't, or maybe you just want to change it, and that's
yeah,
what's needed.
It needs to be different.
Yeah.
It needs to be different.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so this should be a short-term, fast-moving sort of an influence?
No, it's in what we usually find is the eclipse lasts for 6 months. So the stories that were begun under this eclipse, we finish up in December. And the stories that from December were begun, we finish up now. So we wrap up December's eclipse stories now. So we kind of end one cycle and start a new one. And it runs for 6 months. And it also seeds something. It's a new beginning. So if you think back to 1992 and then back to 1974, what was going on with her then, And that was probably 34 was maybe when you met her, 35 years ago.
Yes, that well, huh? 70, yes. We met in 73 and really became friends in 75.
Right, okay. Oh. So in that time you were getting, you know, she came in under this eclipse. So you may be getting rid of her, but you may also be adjusting the relationship 35 years in, two eclipse cycles in. Did you have a little bump in the relationship in 92?
Possibly. We've had bumps, you know, we've had bumps over the many, many years where, mm-hmm. you know, it ebbs and flows. But, yeah, I'll have to think back to see where she was mm-hmm. back in 92.
Yeah, yeah, because it's the same. And you can also, if you want, you can even do the 9 years. You know, you can do 92 plus 9, 2001, 74 plus 9, 83. Because there can be shifts with her then, too.
Great.
Yeah, cool. So, stay tuned and you get to work with it all fall.
Yeah, well, they were nice trines and sextiles, except
yeah,
for that conjunction.
Yeah, so that's usually a positive opportunity.
Yeah, that's what I've been used to. I've been seeing mm-hmm. squares with, I've got Venus and a Pluto at 28 degrees,
mm-hmm.
Gemini and Leo, so I've had lots of squares and oppositions with the big boys.
Yeah, those are the ones that are a little more hard, but the trines
yeah.
are usually pretty positive.
Yeah, well, it was sort of like a refreshing break. Oh, good, something nice is going to happen.
And maybe it is nice.
Well, maybe.
It's
maybe.
Changing, you know. That's
great.
The whole idea. It's like, okay, I've changed, you've changed, we have to change the relationship. Let's do it in a nice way. Yeah.
Great.
Very cool. All
okay,
right, good.
Thanks. Have
You're
a
welcome.
Nice one.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Hello, 718. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ann?
I'm very good. What's new and exciting?
Okay, this is Anani Mouse again.
Hi, how are Anani Mouse? How are you?
I'm good. hope you're enjoying the solar eclipse. And
I
I'd
am.
I'd like to know mm-hmm. what effect this solar eclipse is having on me, although I think it's abundantly clear, but I wondered what you would say. So
right.
I'm born in 1953, December
mm-hmm.
15th,
mm-hmm.
Chicago, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Did I give you everything?
Nope, time 1:57 in the
oh,
morning.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
You got it memorized. Oh, wow.
Well, no, I have it in my computer.
Okay.
Yeah. I recognized your voice. You know, you come to me and talk to me a couple times, and I get to know the voices.
Oh, great.
Yes, so that's very cool. All right, so the eclipse for you is a career direction one in your Chicago chart. And if we move you to New York, which is, I believe, where you live.
Yes.
If we relocate you to New York, it is in your ninth house of education and teaching and communication.
Okay.
So this is an education decision or a teaching and a communication decision.
Okay.
And the eclipse is pretty active in the ninth house of the New York chart. It's also nodal, so you would have started something last year that you're really working on deciding what you want to do with. And it's career-based, so it would say, you know,
oh.
something about going back to education or something, you know, some ninth house matter, which is education, religious, justice, you know, the justice system, communication, teaching, publishing.
Okay.
So there's a lot of energy around that.
Oh, there's energy around publishing?
Publishing, yep. Mm-hmm. The ninth
oh.
house rules a lot of stuff. It rules the higher mind. So it rules a lot of things that are around the bigger truths. So the justice system, the religious organizations, not necessarily God, but the organizations that run them. Publishing, which is an idea of giving you books to read so you expand your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the eclipse for you is in that area. And asking you to move forward and to begin a new process.
Oh,
it's
great.
Very near to your Uranus, which for you is a creative planet, too, because Uranus
oh.
rules your fifth house of creativity.
Well, I had this little demolition derby in my soul yesterday.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
what
I was,
happened?
Well, I was. There are some issues I've been struggling with for mm-hmm. my whole life, even before I knew it, but in the last 2 years I've been really on and off trying to fix something, and yesterday I started reading The Course of Miracles, and I started reading it, I got it like about a couple weeks ago, and I started reading it yesterday for like 4 hours, and all of a sudden I just realized, you know, what was going on with these issues I know I'm not being very specific, but anyway.
Okay. Well, it's
and,
the ninth house of religious and spiritual learnings, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
So you had a breakthrough in that area by reading a book.
Yes, exactly. I would
mm-hmm.
say it was a whole big breakthrough. So,
mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, what you said about it would feel like it was really awful, but then it would be get really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like that because I realized that if I didn't heal myself, and, you know, the book will help me do that, then I can't go on to help and heal other people, which I feel is the purpose of my life. And maybe, does the North Node, if you look at my North Node, does it say the purpose of my life?
Many things in the chart say your purpose of your life, but your North Node in Capricorn says we look to Saturn to see what the vision is, and Saturn's in Scorpio, and Scorpio is traditionally a healer.
Okay.
It's a healer or a killer? So you're not in a bad way, you know.
Well, I've been a killer in a lot of other lives, so I don't think I need to do that.
I don't think I need to do that in this life. No killing in this life. Okay.
No, I do find it very interesting, though. But anyway,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I'm not going to.
And the
do
other
that.
Thing is the eclipse is squared your nodal axis. Your node, your ascendant is 19, rather squared your ascendant descendant, where they
right.
said to you, you have a choice here.
Oh.
You have a choice. What do you want to do? And so your comment is, I think I want to change. That's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. So mm-hmm. that was like a huge thing. And, okay. Also,
cool.
I was just wondering, is it a good time for me to travel between August, say, August 20th and September 1st?
Yeah, that's fine. It's in the house of travel for you, then, would be... It's kind of more work-related, right? Or it's back home? No?
No, it might be abroad.
Might be abroad, okay. I don't have a problem with it. The sun is going
okay.
through your 11th house. So it's tied to hopes and dreams or work. So you may actually, when you go, find work or partnership, you know, as you're doing the traveling.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh, so can I say hello to my friends who are listening to your show?
Sure. Are you sure you have to identify yourself then? They're going to know
no,
who you are.
No, I don't. No, I think
no,
they already know. But the thing
know.
Is, one of them suggested that we all get together and listen to your show, just like the Oscars. Now, that would be fun. That would be fun, right?
I like that. I think that's cute.
Okay.
That's a great idea. And you can have popcorn, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
great. So, yeah, say
hello
to your friends. Hello to your
Margarita,
friends.
Bertie, Tatiana, Tanya, Rosa, and Jennifer.
Hello, all you ladies out there. Good to know you're listening.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll let you go now. Thanks
all
so
right.
much, Ann.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Hello. Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because I was one of those names.
You were one of the names. So then we pick up the phone and you hear you laugh. This is good. All right. Which one are you?
Oh
which name
God.
Are you?
I can't say.
Oh, okay. It's the anonymous call-in show. This works
yes.
for me. Okay.
Oh, and you are the rock star of astrology.
Oh,
okay?
Thank you. I just
really,
love astrology.
I
can't imagine life
what
without
you
it.
Do.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We love it.
Oh,
so did you have a question or were you just listening?
Well,
for your name
now,
to be mentioned, huh?
I didn't know how to call in and now I do.
Oh, okay.
So I do have a question. I'll give you my info.
Sure.
July 25th, 66.
July 251966, yep.
And 3:10 a.m., Detroit, Michigan.
Okay. 3:10 a.m., Detroit. I love it that we pick up and you're yelling because your name is mentioned. It's really good. July 25th, 1966, 3:10 in the morning. Okay, and what's your question?
Well, I would like to know what the solar eclipse means
it's
to me.
It's in your first house. So for you, it's right on your Jupiter. So for you, Jupiter is a planet of abundance, and it's a career placement. So it can be very much shifts and changes around your boss, your work. Did your boss leave? Give notice?
She owes me money, actually.
She owes you money. Okay. So this is a good, the eclipse is in your first house, so if you need to go to the State Labor Department and file for her owing you money, this is a good time to do it. It also is a good time to give her a call and say, hey, you know, you want to pay up the money, because the eclipse is on your Jupiter, so boss is actually in the mood to, probably has a little money right now. And wow. I would hit her up. I would hit her up for it.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So exciting.
And you also have the Uranus Jupiter trining your Sun Mercury, so definitely give her a call and say, so where's my money? You know it's very bad karma for you not to pay people. Use a little guilt on her. She responds well to guilt.
Wow. You have an amazing insight.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading your chart. You got Saturn and Pisces on the top, so you say to her, it's very bad karma not to pay people. People that take advantage of people like doing this, you're going to have a really hard time with the money. Mm-hmm. I had one friend. It was an interesting story. She had gotten hit by a dentist. She got run over by a dentist. And sued because she had a head injury and a lot of medical bills and whatever. Got a bad lawyer. And the lawyer did a really crappy job, and he basically lost the case. And then he sued her for fees. Well, normally lawyers, when they're working on contingency, don't sue for fees. And some she had to pay, you know, like the court filing costs. But he sued for a lot of, like $40,000, a lot of money, which she lost and she had to give him. And the arbitrator said, well, normally people don't sue for this. He's like, I want her to pay. So she paid. And then she said, I'd like this to be balanced. You know, I'll pay him, but I really would like this to be balanced. And she kind of did a couple of rituals on a couple of new moons. And the guy got a really bad case of vertigo. And he couldn't work for about 6 months, which I figure is about $40,000 worth of work.
Wow.
Because the payback is bad. Now, your boss is very tuned into payback is bad. So I would just say to her, you know, it's really bad karma to not pay your employees, especially if you owe them the money.
Wow.
I gave you my labor. If you steal it, you're going to have financial problems by stealing other people's work. And just say that to her, because Saturn right now and Pluto are really kicking butt. Making her aware of the consequences of her behavior is not a mean thing to do. And some people go, well, that's, you know, you're threatening. It's like, no, you're not. You're just saying, you know, if you do this, it's going to come back to you. Because there is this big payoff thing going now. Saturn's not in the mood for people not to be fair. And he's also right opposite her Saturn. So I bet that would get your check in about a week.
Really? So I wouldn't even have to mention the word lawyer. I could just say karma, and that would be
I would just say karma. She's tuned into it, and it's very, very bad karma to not pay your bills and to not pay people for it. The other thing you can do in New York State, I'm assuming you're in the state, is there's a thing called the Labor Department, and you just go and file a claim with them, and they call her butt in, and she has to go for hearing, and they order it, and then they take the money out of her bank account, and they give it to her if she doesn't pay you.
Wow, that's very interesting.
And it's really fast. It's really easy. You just bring in whatever proof it is that you worked, and they look, and they award. They're really good. So,
no kidding. Wow,
yeah.
Thank you.
But I would first try the karma call. I think that'll get you the money.
Oh.
I say you have the money before the August 1st. That's my prediction.
This is so beautiful. Is there any love coming in for me at all?
Any love? Let me look. Let's see what's going on with you with love. Yeah, but you want to watch and make sure that they're really telling you the truth. You have a little bit of a tendency to be gullible with relationships. Not in a bad way, but you believe them. So this time, you know, just kind of trust but verify. Pretend you're a nuclear armament person and say, I believe you only have 5 nuclear weapons, but let me just come count your arsenal. you're not having huge relationship transits, but you are having better ones than you've had in a while. So I would say to you, yes. And I would also say to you, if you really want a relationship, next month you got fabulous aspects for it. So, you know, to say I'd really like to pull one in. So, and you can do it this month, too, on the new moon, too.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you so much. And hello to all my friends out there.
Yeah, you want to say their names, too, before we hang up?
Margarita, Sam, Jennifer, Tatiana, Adele, Peter in Vermont.
And Peter in Vermont. There's a new one. We got a Peter in Vermont. Okay, good. So have a great week. Bye.
Much love to you. Thank you, Anne.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. So we had call-outs, shout-outs on the show. How exciting. And Peter in Vermont, too. That's good. Forward we go into the week. It's going to be a great week. This is a busy week. Get a lot accomplished because the next couple weeks you're going to be really running your butt off. The aspects are very, very active. So this week is a good week to accomplish things. Remember, we are still in eclipse season, so if you were sitting there waiting for some big eclipse to happen, it may not have happened yet. We got another 2 weeks, And then we also have to go through the T-square. So your idea with this new moon, take a little time today, tonight, before you go to bed. Light a couple candles tomorrow if you don't have time to do it today or you're totally wiped. Light a couple candles, sit down, and think about what you want to bring into your life. It's a new moon. New moons are really, really good for creating and for bringing into your life abundance, joy, and happiness. And this is a moon in Cancer, which is also about nurturing you and making you feel really connected. This is Ann Ortley signing off, wishing you a fabulous week, the week of July 12th, 2010. And forward we go into the week. Take care. Bye-bye.